Welcome to Strategy Simplified. On today's episode, we're going to be talking through a 4-week case prep plan. Now, of course, if you are interviewing more than 4 weeks from now, then by all means, this conversation will still be helpful to you as you think about how to pace out and plan, particularly the case interview preparation component of your interview preparation. But for those of you who are really just starting to get involved and invested in this process and are looking forward to late summer or early fall interviews, now is the perfect time to dive in head first, and we want to help make sure that you know the pathway to do that. So let's go ahead and jump in.
If you follow the playbook and the plan we're going to lay out today, you certainly don't have to work with us to be successful, but it is going to require a level of discipline, intentionality, and execution for you to go ahead and do this on your own. If you can do that on your own, if you can work with contacts inside the firms, you can work with peers, then by all means, you should do that. But for those of you who want to work with us, you're more than welcome to do that as well. So what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to let you know what's coming down the pike here for the next few minutes. That's going to give you another minute to grab your pen and paper, and then we're going to move right into the pretest. So we're going to do this market sizing pretest. We're then going to talk about how our recommended approach incorporates drills to give you the best chance at success inside of the case interview. We'll walk you through our recommended prep timeline as well, and then we'll leave plenty of time for Q&A also. So stick around at the end, and you can ask me and Stephanie all the questions that you have. We're here to help and answer those today. So Stephanie, if you're ready, let's go ahead and launch into our pretest. Here is your prompt for today, and we're going to give you 2 minutes to do this. So size the market for refrigerators in Toronto. We're not going to give you any other information, so you can ask, but we're not going to answer. And if you really want to simulate the interview environment, you're not going to Google anything. You're not going to use a calculator. You're just going to, with pen and paper, start to size the market. And I'll tell you this, I'll be nicer than Stephanie. Your final goal here is to get to a number. So take 2 minutes to see if you can get to a number. And Stephanie, if there's anything else you want to add, I'll let you go ahead and do that.
Well, we'll just kind of keep chatting a little bit. As you start, please start working through this problem. Naman said use pen and paper. Now, for those of you just getting started in this process, you should know that's the way you're going to go into your interview. You may have digital assessments, some things on the computer as you go through this process, but the real interviews are those one-on-one interviews. You're across the screen or across the table from an active consultant who's leading you through a business case prompt. You can't use a calculator. You can't access the internet. You can't have your phone nearby. Even if it's a virtual interview on Zoom, you can't be punching away at your keyboard. It makes the interviewer wonder whether or not you're cheating, whether or not you're looking at pre-prepared resources or looking up information. We go old school in case interviews. We use pen and paper. So you need to practice with pen and paper. I recognize we probably have a mixture of different levels of folks in this group today in terms of where you're at overall in this process. So we'll try and speak to some of the introductory level stuff, but also, you know, walk you through some of the key tips and tricks of what it takes to do this case prep plan. Where are we at on our timer, Naman?
We've got about another minute left.
All right.
This can be a little bit of a tricky one. How do you define refrigerators? We'll get into it. I can see some questions coming into the chat around, hey, what do you mean size the market? Like, what are the units I'm supposed to be using? And my answer to you is you tell me what units make sense, right? So you have to make an assumption, you have to defend it. What is the population of Toronto? Make an educated guess. Okay, I'm seeing some numbers come in, not all of them with units. All right, and that's time. That's 2 minutes. Time flies when you're having fun. And that should hopefully give you a sense of the type of time pressure that exists inside of the case interview as well. You have to have that internal sense of timing. Stephanie, why don't we go over, first of all, why we should start our prep with market size, and then we can go over our approach.
Yeah. Okay. So we're not just starting today with market sizing because it's nice and easy and it's just a random thing to do. Market sizing is one of many different problem types that you could experience in the case interview. There is zero guarantee that you are going to see a market sizing problem as you go through this case interview journey. Even with that said, we practice and preach working heavily within market sizing problems. Why? There's a couple of different reasons why. Number one, if you fall into a couple of different segments of candidates, there is an increased chance and likelihood that you're going to see one of these problems. So McKinsey, for example, in their, you know, we'll call them round zero conversations, their screening questions pre-interviews, and even round one interviews, very popular. And then if, again, as kind of a screening and filtering question, if you are applying to a competitive consulting firm from a non-target school, a school that, where they don't focus their recruiting, they could use a market sizing problem to help screen you. Why would this be a screening and filtering kind of problem? Well, the market sizing construct forces you to apply all of the different principles that have to be true in the broader case conversation. What are your interviewers looking for? They're looking for structure, problem solving, and communication. They're looking for you to express to them your thought process. Case conversations, case interviews are a simulation. They're a simulation of what you're going to be like on the job. And yes, you need to have the hard skills to be able to know how to handle a market sizing problem, to do the math correctly, to be able to calculate and compute things for me as we go through this conversation. But it's not all about you just demonstrating the hard skills. If that's what it was, we could make this into a test, just a standardized test. It'd be another standardized test. This is a simulation because the soft skills matter as well. I want to see in these conversations, case interviews are conversations. They are dynamic simulations where you are engaging with me as the candidate to show me what you're going to be like on the job, to show me what you're going to be like when you're brainstorming internally with the team in a team room, you're whiteboarding with the team, when you're trying to be a trusted client coach and advisor externally as well. So the soft skills, the way that you talk through your answer, the way that you derive an answer, the way that you ask questions, that you showcase your spirit to be inquisitive and to be curious and to share your own business acumen and layer on insights on top of a computed answer that you got to, it's the combination of all of those things that matter. You have to demonstrate all of those component parts when you walk through a market sizing problem. Now, the broader case interview, it depends what level you're at, which round you're at, but these case interviews are going to last anywhere from 20 to 60 minutes long. That's quite a range. On average, the average consulting case interview, full case interview, is going to be 25 to 35 minutes long. 20 to 35 minutes long. That's a lot to practice. It's a lot to bite off and chew. When you think about your own case practice plan, we're going to get into the details as we go through this conversation. It takes a long time to be able to start through that process. Yeah, you're going to go through this case in 20 to 35 minutes when you're on the game day of the interview. You're game day ready. You've put in the practice and prep. When you start this process, it takes a lot longer to get through your first few cases. It's a lot to bite off and chew. There's a lot of also component parts you've got to learn about, and you've got to then practice. What does it take and what does it look like to get through a good opening sequence and the structure component and math and non-math questions and the recommendation? We don't have time to get into all those component parts of the broader case interview today and really teach on it. But there's beauty in the market sizing question in that we have to demonstrate all of those component parts in a smaller bite size piece. So market sizing questions, to work through them, are going to take us anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes. It could take up to 8 minutes to talk through a market sizing question, but on average, it's going to take us 3 to 5 minutes. And we're going to have to exhibit structure, assumptions, calculations, insights, problem solving, communication, all the things that our interviewer is going to be looking for in the longer, broader case interview conversation. When we think about your case prep practice plan, you need to learn and understand a couple of things, right? It's a simulation, not a test. We've covered that. This is a muscle that you need to build. Number two, instead of a set of things to memorize and then just activate. To be able to be successful in the case interview process and work successfully, not only to crack one case, but over a multitude of case conversations and multiple rounds, it has to be instinctive. It has to be a muscle that you've built over time so that you can go in and that you can attack any case question that's given to you. That muscle is because there's a lot of different things involved in this. You have to be thinking and talking and writing at the same time. And when we practice through market sizing questions, that's exactly what you're going to do as well. We were just in a pretest today. We did a drill. I hadn't taught on anything. So we gave you 2 minutes in silence, mostly silence. We were talking over it a little bit, but we just gave you 2 minutes to think about it. This was not a realistic drill that we just did today because we gave you time and silence to think about it. In reality, in the real case interview setting, you're going to talk through your answers to every single problem that your interviewer gives you. Or at least that's what separates the best candidates from good candidates. Best-in-class candidates are going to talk through their entire answer to any case interview question. That includes math. You're going to talk through your answers to math questions and recommendations and creative brainstorming. Now, where do you start to be able to practice through these 45-minute case interviews, out loud conversations? Well, we can start with these small market sizing questions. And we're going to talk through what it takes, at least the intro to what it takes to succeed and conquer one of these questions. And then you are going to get the chance to work through these yourself. And working through these out loud.
We'll be right back after this quick message. Maximize your chances of landing a top 10 consulting offer by joining Black Belt, Management Consultant's premium case prep program. In Black Belt, you receive one-on-one mentorship and prep support from a former McKinsey, Bain, or BCG consultant like the one you're hearing from today. Your coach will develop a personalized plan for you and guide you through drill-based coaching sessions. Black Belt also includes expert resume and cover letter edits, because case prep is only so good if you don't get the interview. 80% of Black Belts land offers, which is why it's the world's most effective consulting prep program. If you're ready to quit wasting time in your prep process, join today. Learn more and register at the link in this episode's show notes. Now, let's get back to the show.
Here are the core component parts to solving a market sizing question. Are these the only steps that you can take? No, but these are the standard steps. Talking about giving ourselves a playbook and a place to start to be able to work through these tough, long questions. Here's your standard steps of where to start. Now, let's actually take, these are the component parts and these are the mechanics of solving a market sizing question. I want to make sure that you capture these down, that you take these with you. But let's actually take a half a step back. What are the component parts of how I answer through this question? Now, we talk through the answer, and to get through this full answer is going to take anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes. Your interviewer for any math question in a case interview is not expecting you to spit out an answer in 10 or 15 or 30 seconds. That's not how it works. Your interviewer is looking for you to take a structured, logical approach to break down this hairy, complex, ambiguous problem into its component parts, and then to walk through those component parts in a logical, rational, orderly fashion. So it doesn't matter what problem I give to you. I want you to be able to break down that complex, hairy, ambiguous problem into its component parts and walk through them in a logical, rational, orderly fashion. For market sizing, here's what that looks like. We're going to start with the population. So our question and our prompt was to size the market for refrigerators in Toronto. We're going to start with the population of Toronto. Maybe you're even asking, what are we solving for? And we saw some questions in chat towards that, and we asked you for units. That's understandable. Okay. Unless you're specifically told to solve for something else, I want you to think about this in terms of a revenue per year answer. You're sizing the market in terms of revenue per year. You're sizing the actual transactions that happen of a particular good or service within a specific given boundary. In this prompt, we've given you a geographical boundary, the city of Toronto, and sizing the market for refrigerators. That's the purchase of refrigerators. Market size, market share, these are relatable concepts. When we think about sizing the market for something, it's not sizing demand. It's what are the actual financial transactions. So we're solving towards a revenue per year answer. I'm starting my answer. I'm talking through this over multiple minutes, breaking down this conversation, hairy, ambiguous problem into its component parts. Whenever I answer any case interview question, I'm going to start with recapping what I've just heard from my interviewer and then asking clarifying questions. That might be the place where I get to ask a clarifying question and confirm my understanding of what a refrigerator is, or whether or not we're talking about Metro Toronto versus, you know, Toronto city limits, or the broader, you know, regional area around Toronto. After I first recap and restate what I'm trying to work through and then ask clarifying questions, then I'm going to break down this problem and talk through it piece by piece. To do that, I qualitatively first talk through the way that I'm thinking about approaching the next step or next couple of steps to answer this problem. And then I quantitatively jump into the math that I'm going to do, talking through my steps piece by piece. I'm using my paper in front of me to capture down notes and to capture down calculations as I go through the answer, but I'm not using it to do the mechanics of the math. Best-in-class candidates are going to do their math out loud. So what are the mechanics of how we go through this problem? We start with population. That's going to be the population of Toronto. Now, the first time I come across a question with an interviewer and I have a piece of information that I want but I don't have, I'm going to ask the interviewer for that directly. I'm going to say something like, well, the first thing that I want to do to be able to solve towards a revenue per year answer is to be able to start with the population of Toronto. Do we have any data on that? My interviewer is going to respond in one of two ways. They're going to say, yes, I have that data. It is X million. Or they're going to say, no, I don't have that information. How would you think about it? How would you estimate it? That's the situation that we put you in here today. And you could get that type of estimation problem when you go through your interview process. If you're put in this situation and the interviewer doesn't have the data to give you, you are going to have to come up with the numbers yourself, providing the rationale for why you think that is what it is, using comparison points, examples, analogies from your own professional or personal background and experience, and then move through with the numbers that you've chosen, the mechanics to get to that revenue per year answer. No consultant is worth their weight in salt if they just pull numbers out of thin air. You can't do that professionally. So in interviews, we can't do that as well. There's got to be some type of evidence base or rationale that you can provide to be able to, you know, give your guesstimate. And you've got to deliver that with confidence and poise and gravitas to be able to show me in this simulation what it's going to be like as you walk a client through an answer or give a presentation. So we start with the population of Toronto, and we need to break that down into a smaller unit size that makes sense. Households is going to be our standard next step. It could be age brackets. It could be gender identification. It could be other segmentation options, but our standard choice here is going to be households. To get to households, I'm going to have to estimate the number of people per household in Toronto and do a division to get to the number of households in Toronto. Then I'm going to have to think about, well, how many households in Toronto own at least one refrigerator? I can't assume that it's 100%, or if you want to assume that it's 100%, I at least want you to state that out loud. but I need you to talk through all of your rationale. I need you to be very extroverted with your thinking as you go through these case interview discussions. So I take the number of households that I have estimated for Toronto, and I'm going to multiply that by a percentage of ownership. How many households own at least one refrigerator? And then of the households that own at least one, how many do I think that they own? On average, do you think it's one refrigerator? Do you think that it's two? Is there a different segmentation that you want to do here to be able to provide that nuance to the answer? You're going to approach every single market sizing question with the express nuance of the exact question that you've been given. Sizing the market for refrigerators in Toronto, it makes a lot of sense to go from population to households to percentage ownership. If I gave you a different question, maybe you would think that it made more sense to go from population to gender identification to percentage ownership. Like if I asked you for, you know, female hygiene products, you might go from population to gender identification to percentage ownership. But in a few steps, then we've estimated the number of those goods that exist in that region. Population to households to percentage ownership. Now we have an estimate on how many refrigerators there are in Toronto. But to be able to get to a revenue per year answer, we have to annualize that and then multiply that by an average price. So there's still a few different steps left. So we want to get to how many are sold on an annual basis. When we think about getting to that annual number, we think about one of two things in this third box on the page. We're thinking about lifespan or frequency of purchase. If it's something that is purchased less than once a year, like a fridge, then I'm thinking about what's the overall lifespan of that product? How long do I think it lasts before somebody has to buy a new one? And I'm going to use that number defined in years, and I'm going to divide the total number of refrigerators in Toronto divided by that average lifespan to get me to an estimate of how many fridges are purchased per year. I'm assuming equal purchases in, and also kind of, you know, these items kind of biting the dust and leaving the pool. I'm thinking about a static pool of these refrigerators in Toronto. How many of them are purchased? If I assume average and equal purchasing year over year, how many are purchased annually? And then my last step to get to my revenue per year answer is going to be to multiply that by an average price. This is another great opportunity to provide nuance and extra segmentation to your answer. I could just multiply it by one average price, or I could say and determine that there's probably different segments to this market, a premium product, a standard product, maybe an entry level, lower priced budget model. What percent of fridges do you think are sold within each of those different segments that you have defined? And what would be the price on each of those segments? I'm going to multiply that by my fridges per year number in the last step and get to my revenue per year answer. After I get to the end of any answer in a consulting case interview, I need to provide additional perspective and commentary on that answer. Talking a little bit about what the numbers say, what it means to the client or the business situation that you've been given, and what you would want to do next in this case conversation if the conversation were to continue. This insight that you layer on is a critical and component part to standing out in the case interview process. And it's a required essential element for interviewing at firms like McKinsey, Bain, and BCG. So here with a few steps, you can go through the market sizing process and you can start to practice out loud what it sounds like to work through a complex, hairy, ambiguous business problem from start to finish. We're going to provide for you in chat a link to our market sizing drills algorithm, and you're going to be able to access some random prompts for you to be able to think through and talk out loud on your own. If you want to take this a step further, I would say open up your Zoom client or Microsoft Teams or whatever you have a license to and record yourself. Watch it back as you talk through your answer. Did you seem like you were logical and orderly? Were there any logic gaps in the way that you went through the math? And then you get your courage up and you need to start practicing live with other people. live case practice partners are crucial. You need to work with people who are going to be willing and able to give you good, solid feedback as you talk through your answers to these problems along the lines of problem solving, structure, and communication, the things that your interviewers are looking for. So what is helpful as we start this process? There's a few different data points that could be helpful for you to have in your back pocket as you start to answer these market sizing problems, including some population numbers. If we're going to start these answers with the population of that area, well, I don't expect you to know the population of Toronto, but maybe you know the population of LA or New York City or the state that you're from, and you can make a comparison to that. Maybe you know that the population of the US is 328 million, and so you can make an educated guess on the population of Florida, for example. Right? We need to just have a few data points in our back pocket that can help give us a stronger starting answer to any of these problems. I haven't seen it come through exactly in chat, but a question I often get is here, how close do I have to get to the right answer? How close do I have to get to the right answer in this kind of problem? And my answer for you is, if you are given an estimation problem, then there is no right answer. You're not supposed to get close to the right answer. We looked at, you know, Naman asked you to put your answers in chat, and we looked through some of the answers that you gave. What can I tell from the answer that you put in chat? Nothing. I can tell nothing from the answer that you put in chat, because one person might get to 100 million and another person could get to a billion. And I could love both of those answers. It's about the way that you talk through it, the process that you're taking. You need to do the math correctly on the numbers that you have estimated and chosen. And if I think that you're off by an order of magnitude, I have every right as the interviewer to come into the conversation and challenge you on your thinking or give you another number to use. But it doesn't matter how close you get to the right answer. This is a simulation of how you break down that complex, hairy, ambiguous problem and make it digestible and easy for me to follow along with you as you get to the answer. Oh, go ahead, Naman.
I was just going to ask you, Stephanie, I know we've got a different approaches to this, but what about the commercial market here, right? We looked at the residential market. Do you factor that in? If so, how? What do you think about that?
So in terms of when I start to answer this question, you know, we talked about, I'm going to recap what I've heard from the interviewer and I'm going to ask some clarifying questions. One of the clarifying questions I might choose to use up front would be, am I sizing just the residential side of this market, or should I consider commercial as well? So an approach that I like to use is to assert that I'm going to start by sizing the market for residential fridges, in Toronto. And then I'm going to walk through my answer from start to finish. After I get to the end of my answer, the steps that we took here, I'm going to layer on additional perspective and commentary and insights and perhaps say something like, well, I could also account for the size of the commercial market on top of this, or even go through a full process again to size the commercial side of the market if we have time for that, if you're interested in that. And 95 out of 100 times, Naman, the interviewer is going to say, oh, nope, I think we got everything that we need. We can go ahead and move on. Because the interviewer isn't seeing if you can get to the right answer. They're seeing whether or not you can go through this process from start to finish and how well you communicate along the way, the structure that you take, whether or not you're doing the math correctly based on the numbers that you choose. So I don't need to overcomplicate it for myself. I'm going to state and solve for the residential side of the market. If I do get pushed 5 out of 100 times to be able to size the commercial side of the market, I'm going to take a very similar approach. I'm still going to start with population and probably break it down to households and then think about what types of businesses are going to purchase this good. What type of businesses are going to purchase a refrigerator? Talk through what different types of businesses I think those are, and then estimate how many of those businesses are in existence for every 100 households or every 1,000 households, and still attach it back to the same linear thinking, and then go from there to think about percentage of ownership, lifespan of the product, and then apply a purchase price to that to get to a revenue per year answer.
Absolutely. Stephanie, you know I'm all about limiting scope. So I want to interview candidates that are going to make less work for my team. So if you can figure out a way to limit that scope up front and say, hey, I'm only going to look at the residential market because I think that's going to be the biggest segment here. I love that, right? So don't make more work for yourself. And if you don't make more work for yourself, then what you're really communicating to me is I'm not going to make more work for the team either if you hire me. And so I love that. As we move towards, introducing this kind of more full summer case prep plan here, let me just give y'all who are new to us a little bit of an introduction to who Management Consultant is, what we do, the types of firms that we help our clients break into. So we have a ton of free content on the website. It's always been free. It always will be free. We've got a salaries report. We've got a firm directory. We've got the market sizing drills that Stephanie mentioned. We've got a free case course. We've got free cases on there. So go ahead and check those resources out. Japheth, if you're able to, you can pop some links in the chat, but you all can also just sign up for our weekly newsletter. We send these resources out all the time. And so take advantage of all the free stuff we've got there. We do these free calls one or two times a month. So stay in touch with what we do so you can take advantage of all the great content that our team is putting out. We do private workshops like this for our university partners. And so if you're at a university and you're like, man, I wish I had someone who could come in and teach our group, my class about case interviews, we do that. So let us know if we don't come to your university and we'd love to start that conversation. We've got a ton of self-study training materials on the website as well. You can go through our full online asynchronous curriculum. And then we do one-on-one editing and training as well. I know I mentioned that at the top with Black Belt and some of the other programs that we have. So if you want to work one-on-one with a coach like Stephanie to prepare for case interviews, or if you want us to edit your resume and your cover letter before you apply, we can do that as well. So it's a little bit of who we are and what we do. And overall, our clients land offers in 170 different firms, not just consulting, right? There are companies like Capital One and JP Morgan and Amazon and Meta and AT&T and Google and others that use case interviews. And these same best practices apply to case interviews outside of consulting as well. So when we get to the Q&A, if you have a question about a firm that you think is niche, or if you have a question about case interviews outside of consulting, chances are we've helped somebody break into that firm or that company. So fire away, ask us, and we probably have an answer for you. So Stephanie, I'll turn it back over to you and you can continue talking to us about what we should be doing here over the next handful of weeks.
Yes. So what does it look like for you to get ready for these interviews? As Naman alluded to, case interview practice is not the only component part. You have to actually get the interview. You've got to look good on paper with your resume and cover letter. You've got to network appropriately and effectively within the firms. Once you get the interview, you've got to sit with your resume and think about your fit interview, the behavioral interview prep, and we got to get ready for case interviews. Now, this is the biggest, hairiest, and most foreign to most of us. And that's why we spend the most amount of time talking about it. But do not overlook those other areas. So what does it look like in terms of just case interview prep? We want you to start with market sizing. We want you to start with market sizing questions, and you should start with at least two a day. If you click into the market sizing drills, you'll see there that there are boxes and the exact steps that we talked through in terms of segmentation and the standard market sizing approach. We've got articles as well to be able to speak to some additional nuance there, but you'll want to think about custom segmentation options like moving from population to age brackets, or population to, gender identification, or population to households to region, or customer needs. There's other ways that you can approach these problems, and you need to get that nuance there. You can do about 20 of those by yourself before you really have to start doing them out loud with a partner. Out loud with a partner and get a good partner that'll give you good feedback. But we've got to upgrade outside of that. That's just how we get started. That's that little piece we can jump onto. You've heard a little bit about it today, and then we're going to have to upgrade to the full cases. So here's some good news. You can do your first five cases by yourself. And you know what? If you're not interviewing until November or December, you can do your first 10 cases by yourself. These first cases that you do, You want to get a little bit of a handle on the whole thing before you launch in. So the second, you know, the 2 o'clock bubble, second bubble we've got here on the screen is, start watching some cases. There's a ton of YouTube case interview walkthrough videos online. We've got a ton of them. A ton of other people do as well. The firms have them. Watch through 5 videos. Watch through 5 videos, get a sense of the way that things are moving through and going on. But you've got to be able to do it yourself as well. So you want to launch in, you're going to do cases by yourself. The first 5 to 10 cases that you do by yourself, I want you to do those twice through. Same cases. And by doing that, you give yourself the opportunity to get a better flow and communicate more clearly and get to the answers faster and get to greater and deeper insights the second time around. Yeah, you may already kind of know what's coming, but there's a lot of benefit in doing something again to be able to polish and really see improvement in the areas that you need assistance. Well, how do you figure out the areas that you need assistance? A tool called a diagnostic interview is something that's a great thing for you to be able to take advantage of and try and secure. Secure some time to do a practice case interview with someone who knows what they're talking about. At a minimum, that means someone who's been through this entire process themselves. Even better, it's someone who worked at a consulting firm and made it through this process successfully. Even better, if it's someone who was an interviewer at that consulting firm while they were there. And let's be honest, even better than that, somebody who works professionally as a coach to work with folks to do case interview prep, right? And that's, we have a staff of those here at Management Consulted. But you got to work with somebody who knows what they're talking about, do a diagnostic interview, and give you some insight and perspective on what your strengths and weaknesses are. So it may not be fully linearly that you're going to do that diagnostic interview before you get through all of your first 10 cases, but sometime in that process, you're working through your first 10 cases by yourself and you know you don't have it all figured out yet. It feels really rough, but do a diagnostic interview with somebody so that they can start to identify, well, this is where you seem to have some really good intrinsics. You know, you're just naturally good. You've got some strengths in these certain areas, but you really need to work on being more communicative through your math and driving to insights at a more deeper level, et cetera, et cetera. Identifying both strengths and weaknesses. What has to happen to be able to successfully make it through this case interview process? This is not a process through which you can just lean into your strengths. It's very helpful to know what your strengths are so that you can also kind of speak to those in the fit interview component. But this is a process where you have to become proficient across the board. You have to raise your game in the areas of weakness so that you don't bomb any particular section. You can't bomb a particular section and make it through these interviews. It's too competitive to be able to do that. And there's a lot of different component parts. There's all different hard skills and soft skills to master. There's different best practices based on which component part of the case interview discussion that you're in. There's a lot of things to master here. Business acumen to display, you know, your own insights and recommendations to be able to derive. What are you naturally good at? What are you weak at? Have somebody help identify those things for you so that then you can go through and drill in those particular areas, raise your game in the areas in which you're weak, while also mocking through full case interviews so that you can polish and refine the other areas that you may be more naturally gifted in. After you get through those first 5 or 10 cases by yourself, when we think about you practicing live with a partner, it's going to take you anywhere from 10 to 40 or 50 cases to get ready. And that's the reality. I can't tell you what that is. Naman can't tell you what that is. It's going to be different for every person. Now, you can help do things to accelerate that process by really leaning in through a structured practice program, by working with a professional coach. Think about it like an SAT tutor, an LSAT tutor, somebody that's going to help catalyze and accelerate your process as you go through. Somebody who's going to help identify for you where your strengths and weaknesses are and help develop those drills with you and go through structured sections and sessions to be able to raise your game in those areas. Now, the overall landscape of case interviews is broad. This is one view. This is how we define the landscape at Management Consulted. The second row here, the orange boxes, all of the cases in our case library, I think our case library is up to like 500 or 550 cases. They're all separated into these 10 case types. There's a lot of diversity though, even within those 10 case types. We could roll them up into broader, you know, broader thematic groups. That's what you have in the top row, the four boxes: estimation, market sizing, internal, external, and M&A type questions. But there's just a lot to work through there. Now, here's my, you know, there's not a slide for it, but here's my like, kind of tool I want you to get started with this, right? As you start going through cases, you're going to have to get a diversity of the different cases that you're working through. Now, one view of that diversity is here on the screen. Now, those top four blue boxes, we transfer the words a little bit and we get to internal problems. Those are profitability problems. External problems, those are market study problems. And then M&A. You've just gone through and done a whole bunch of market sizing problems. You can check the box on that one of the four. Now you need to go and you need to upgrade to full cases and you need to get a diversity of cases across these three categories. You should start an Excel table for yourself. In that Excel table, you should create a bunch of different columns and you should track through the cases that you're working through. Let me tell you what the columns should be. The columns should be, what's the name of the case that I went through? What's the source of that case? What's the day that I did that case? Who did I do that case with? How long did it take me to get through the case? What areas did I do particularly well on? What areas did I not do particularly well on? What is the case type? What is the problem type? What is the industry? And what is the functional area? You should track and measure yourself across all of those dimensions when you're going through full cases. You need to give yourself diversity on the case industry, on the case functional area, on the case type and the case problem type. Now, working with a structured case bank like we have at Management Consulted can help you in that process. We have all of our cases listed out across those variables. Working with a case coach can help you get diversity across that because they're going to help you across your set of coaching sessions get diversity in problem types and also really focus on those areas where you're weak. But here's, you know, if you're doing this process by yourself, here's our recommendation on this page. You do your first four in profitability, internal problems. You do your next four cases on market study. Those are more external problems to your client. You do two on M&A, that's mergers and acquisitions. And then after you've gone through those first 10, again, you're gonna go through those first 10 twice through. Then there's no excuse. Step four, you get with a partner. You get with a partner. And you try and get to greater levels of depth of insight. What we have on here is level one versus level two. All of our cases in our case library have example case answers for you. That's not only for the answer key for the math, that's example answers from start to finish. What could the structure look like? What would the creative brainstorming answer look like? What could the recommendation sound like? And we not only give you an example answer, but we give you different levels of that answer. A level one answer might be acceptable. Level two answer is better. Give you some perspective and some different opinions on what different answers could be. As you go through this process by yourself, step four and onwards, you're working with a partner, you're trying to get to a greater level of depth of insight. It's going to take you anywhere from 10 to 40 or more cases with a partner to be ready. And you've got to get into some, you know, you got to give yourself a few tricky kind of creative or advanced ones as well as you get closer and closer to the interview. Now, those of you, we know we've got some of you here with quick timelines and turnarounds. So to get even more specific on this, here's what it looks like. Over the next two weeks, you need to not only go through market sizing problems, but you need to really get your feet wet into full cases. if you're going to be preparing now for interviews in August, you have an accelerated timeline. For those of you who aren't looking to interview until November, December, or January, we can expand this a little bit, right? But those on a 1 to 2 month timeline, we got to be efficient. Because through the end of June and then early into July, you have to fully master the core frameworks that it takes to structure and create a custom framework up front in the case conversation. You've got to be able to blend those frameworks together and provide a customized case framework presentation to every interview discussion. And you really have to have sat with your resume and worked on the behavioral component as well. So that by the time you get to the day of your interview, you're ready to go. You've built this muscle. It's a muscle that we have to build. It's not, can I memorize all the things and just spit it back out? And I hope on the day of the interview that I get a case that looks like a case that I've done before. That shouldn't be our mindset at all. This is not a standardized test that I'm going to pass or fail. This is a simulation that I need to build a muscle and a mentality to become ready for as I go and I simulate what I'm going to be like on the job. My mentality going into this interview is I'm excited today to chew on a tough business problem with a future colleague. That's got to be my mentality. It takes time to build up that mentality as well. In addition to building the muscle of thinking and talking and writing at the same time over 20 to 45 minutes to start from scratch and end up with a clear-cut directive recommendation about what your client should do to be able to meet their objectives. Oof. And on that game day, to be able to get through that interview in 20 to 45 minutes, I got to be able to do my math fast. I have to be structured, but also creative while in brainstorming. I have to be comfortable and equipped to interpret and derive insights from all different types of charts, graphs, and exhibits. And I have to, in my practice preparation, give myself exposure to a diversity of problem types, industries, and functional areas so that I can use the language and some knowledge of that corner of the business world and bring that into this conversation. Now, what does it look like if you were going to work with us? We'll tell you what it looks like. You know, our Naman told you up front that we've got these black belt cohorts. If you purchase at least 8 hours of coaching with us, then you become a black belt. And 8 hours, here's how we would spend those 8 hours with you. First hour up front with the coach. And by the way, it's the coach of your choice, scheduled at your discretion. You don't have to use all the hours in the month that you join the cohort. They don't expire. You get access to the management consultant platform and all the resources and drills that we have on there. That doesn't expire. You can buy a package of 8. You can buy a package of 16 or 24, right, Naman? Like it just, you know, but 8 or more, you become a black belt. And here's how we would spend that 8 hours with you. First hour is going to be a diagnostic interview. Where are you naturally strong and weak? The case coach is going to use that diagnostic interview to be able to then put a plan together for you. How should we spend the remaining time that we have together? And they're going to give you that plan, and you could choose to spend part of those time, you know, you could work your entire package with the same coach. You could work your package with different coaches across the sessions. My recommendation is you do the majority of them with one coach, but then branch out at the end as you start to refine. But based on where you're at, we're going to help put a plan together for you. Our coaches only work with us here at Management Consulted. They're not working across different systems and approaches. They're going to put a plan together to you that's going to work with our teaching and our platform and our resources. We may have structured sessions to be able to work on the places where you need the most assistance, whether that's structure or math or even fit interview components. Maybe it's driving insights. Maybe it's driving to recommendations. Maybe it's your confidence. Maybe it's working with complexity and charts. We're going to have some focus sessions, but we're also going to have full one-hour case interview run-throughs. You're going to get all the time to be able to go through a case from start to finish and get the you know, refined feedback from your coach to help you move forward in an accelerated way through this process. By the time you get to the end, you might be working with new and different coaches and dress up and fully simulate that, be ready for this conversation and be game day ready for your interview. So there's a lot here. I'm going to pass it back over to Naaman, kind of remind you of the opportunities that he spoke to at the beginning to work with us, and then we'll make sure to hit some more of your questions that we got here in chat.
Yeah, absolutely. Great job, Stephanie. And I'll just say, whether you work with management consultant or not, this is the plan we'd recommend. So if you have access to expert partners elsewhere, whether that's at your university, whether you've got contacts inside the firms, you can work with them. Follow the same plan. It works. It's proven. You know, thousands of successful consulting candidates over the last 10 years have followed it on their way to an offer because it's structured while still allowing for that tailoring to your timeline, your gap areas, and the firm styles that you'll be dealing with. So take this for what it's worth, screenshot it. And if you'd like to work with us, we would love to work with you.
Thanks for joining us today. I really hope that this discussion was helpful to understand not only what's important in this process, but how to pace it out. I think that balance of mocking through full cases, but also drilling in the areas in which you're weak is really important. And so, as we said it before, I will double down here. You do not need to have an additional paid partnership to be able to go through this process. You don't need a subscription to anything, but it does help you really as a catalyst. It helps you accelerate this process. And for those of you who don't have that many weeks to work with, you should really strongly consider getting that partnership, utilizing good quality case practice resources, and making sure that you get the most that you can out of every single case repetition. Hopefully you've heard us say a million times by this point that live case practice is what matters. It's what's going to help you build that muscle. And live case practice with a partner is only as good as that person's ability to, one, lead through the case discussion, and two, be able to discern and deliver feedback to you after the fact. So we have our set of coaches at Management Consulted. They only work with us. They're all ex-McKinsey, Bain, or BCG. They are trained and equipped to give and deliver cases, not only from the firm that they came from, but across different case delivery styles, the interviewer-led case, the interviewee-led case. They're able to talk you through some of the nuances of what may be coming down the pike from your particular interviews, and will help you put that plan together so that you make sure that you can focus in on your weaker areas while also making your strengths shine. That's what they're there for. So really encourage you to take a look at our offerings. If you haven't ever taken a close look before, maybe now this is the time to do it. You can get as little as 1 hour with one of our coaches, or you can buy a package. If you buy 8 or more hours with us, you become a Black Belt member, and that gives you access to all of our materials behind the paywall. And there's literally hundreds of hours of materials to go through, on-demand videos, drills, activities, before you get to even the case library. And our case library is separated into the problem case types, as we talked about today in this conversation, and would give you an extra layer of insight and knowledge as you look at the example solutions that are offered across the 500 or 550 cases as we have them up there right now. So make sure to check out the link in the show notes. Make sure to look at our Black Belt program. Make sure to look through the bios of all of our coaches. When you sign up for coaching hours with Management Consulted, they have no expiration date, and you're able to choose to work with the coach that you think will help you and that also fits with your schedule. So you can go on, even without purchasing today, you can go on and you can take a look at our availability at the coach bios, and all those links will be here in the show notes. Thanks again for joining us today.